What makes a tweet funny? To write.
Hello and welcome to the Matt's Movie Reviews Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Perkovich, and this is episode number 187. Out now on digital through iTunes is Funny Tweets, a documentary that looks at comedy writing on Twitter and how social media has bridged the gap between writer, audience, and those in the TV industry who are sourcing new and upcoming talent based on their skills of their tweets. A funny, insightful, and absolutely relevant documentary. Funny Tweets should be seen by all during these social media heavy times. And joining me now to talk about Funny Tweets is the film's director, Laurie McGuinness. Laurie, I thank you very much for joining me on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on, man.
So, look, I just want to say thank you for this documentary. I mean, this is such a breath of fresh air to see this documentary, to see how the Twitter platform can be used in such a positive way. Lately, we've been having things like the Kevin Hart situation, the Covington Catholic situation. So I've just really taken over Twitter and just made it into a really kind of negative space. So I just want to say thank you for showing that Twitter can be a very positive place.
Oh, no, it's, you know, and when I first connected with Dan, he lives very close to me up here in Canada, and he was working as a cashier manager at a pharmacy, and then he said, yeah, I was just down in LA at the Cohen Show. I was in the green room. He's buddies with Andy Richter, and I'm like, well, how does that work? But the two of them just connected because they really enjoyed each other's sense of humor, and that was strictly because Dan got on a phone and fired off a few one-liners. So, yeah.
So when it comes to the Dan, you're speaking of Dan Duvall, was a cashier at a pharmacist from Victoria in Canada. Not to confuse my Australian listeners for Victoria down, which is right. One of our states here in Australia. So the whole kind of concept of the documentary revolves around him and his kind of breakthrough on Twitter. When was it that you first saw his kind of work on Twitter, and why did you think that he would be a great basis to center your documentary upon?
Well, I mean, I never thought of him as a documentary subject. I followed him, and I realized he was funny, and then he made a comment about the ferries. Victoria, up here in BC, is on the island, and you can only get on and off the island by ferry. And he mentioned the ferries. I thought, this guy lives close. So I DM'd him, and then we started talking, and then I don't know how it came up, but I called him, and we had a little chat on the phone, and his story was so interesting. So I brought commercials here, like for, you know, at an ad agency, and I got access to production stuff. And so I just brought my camera guy over and we interviewed him. It was about an hour and a half. And then that became the spine of the whole movie. It was, he was a very likable guy, and he was really grateful for the opportunities that he'd had, but his life had really fundamentally changed for the better as a result of being on Twitter. And that just started me thinking, okay, so how do we just started following our curiosity. We went down to LA twice and interviewed all those people that you saw in the doc. And the more we talked, the more these stories came out, these opportunities that came, you know, the people talking about the democratization of opportunity, that they had access to audiences and powerful people who they ordinarily would not have. You know, as for example, like Damien Fahey, who's a buddy of Dan's, and now he writes for Family Guy. He was a radio DJ in L.A., and he was on Twitter, and Seth MacFarlane followed him and then retweeted some of his stuff. And then one day, Damien's manager calls and says, do you want to write for Family Guy? It was that straightforward.
It's really interesting to me, because usually when you hear about anything regarding employment and social media, it's because people are losing their jobs because of a certain tweet or a Facebook post. Right. In your documentary, you're showing how the opposite can happen. Is that something that's still happening now? This documentary is made, I think, from what I can see from watching the film, it looked like it was made before the Trump presidency. And I imagine, like, to me, when I look at Twitter these days, there's pre-Trump and there's post-Trump. And I think a lot of things coming after post-Trump has landed people in some hot water. So do you still think that people are still out there, especially in the TV industry, that are sourcing talent from the tweets that they got out there?
Well, I think the golden years were definitely pre-Trump. A lot of the fault, like, I don't think that there's the opportunities that there was a few years ago, but that's just anecdotal. I don't know that for sure. Yeah. I mean, what, you know, one of the things that really came through talking to people was, is what the, you know, it was one thing to have the opportunity, but you needed a unique voice. You needed to have a way of saying things that someone couldn't find somewhere else. And so, you know, now with all like the saturation of social media, that it's harder to have that cut through and to have somebody notice you. And also that a lot of the different ways that you could come at Twitter have already been done. So, you know, as it moved from 140 characters now to 280, so that changed the nature of it a little bit. So, you know, whether or not people can still get an opportunity, I'm sure they can. You've just got to get noticed by the right person, but yep, that can be tough, right?
Another cool thing in your documentary was you spoke about the craft of writing a tweet. Reading that just up on your background, Laura, you come from advertising. In advertising in Twitter writing, to me, there are some similarities there. With an ad, you have 30 seconds to deliver a message. You've got to make it to the point. You've got to make it succinct. You've got to make it memorable. Do you see also similarities between, say, putting together 120 characters on a tweet and having like 30 to 25 seconds putting together an advertisement?
Absolutely. It's exactly the same skill. It's economy of language. Like a perfect tweet is like a little bonsai tree. There's not one extra syllable. And advertising is a very similar skill. And that's where I learned brevity was, you know, nowadays we're doing things for social media. Today I wrote a 5-second ad. So like those skills are absolutely transferable. Just getting to the point and of course, the difference between an ad and a tweet is at the end of the tweet, if you do it really well, you need a laugh. And those are harder to make, you know.
What is your approach to Twitter? Has it changed over the years? I mean, is it about being informed? Is it about being entertained? I mean, what was that first thing that really got you hooked onto that platform?
People making me laugh. And I would wake up in the middle of the night, and if I couldn't get back to sleep, I'd go on Twitter. I just love just having access to funny people's minds, and that they would, you know, you could connect with people and really get, I don't know, like a fresh perspective on things. I've really enjoyed that. And that, now, as far as my own participation in it, I do sometimes try and write tweets. I've had a couple of good ones. But mostly what I've tried to do now when I'm on Twitter is be kind. And just don't sort of get lost in the anonymity of it, but treat somebody as though they're standing next to you. And I have had amazing interactions with people as a result.
Do you remember your first tweet?
I don't think I do. That's a good question. I should go back and look.
Because I'm trying to remember mine, because I've been on Twitter, I think, you know, sometimes these things pop up on your feed. You've been here for so-and-so years. I think for myself, it's been maybe 7 or 8 years. And I was trying to remember what my first tweet was. And I think I was really kind of naive to what the platform was. At first, I thought it was just something you could just promote your work. So I have my website, I promote my stuff. But as I progressed, it became something else. It became something where you can have conversations and such. But to me, it is also a dangerous side to Twitter. You had some people in your documentary talked about some misplaced tweets done at misplaced times. And it reminded me of the Kevin Hart situation just happened like a month ago. When it comes to Twitter, Laurie, do you think that something that you have written 8-9 years ago that's still on that platform, do you think that is still something that is representative of you as a person? Or do you think that it's just a snapshot of a place and time, and because of the limitations that Twitter brings, for example, no edit button, you're just kind of like stuck in that situation forever?
Well, that's interesting, you know, and I bet if you went back and looked, I think my earlier tweets would certainly be harsher than what I write now.
Yeah.
I was more willing to cross the line because I didn't really see sort of what the downside could be, but you could see how it could happen where if I was working for a client and they saw something that I'd written that was, you know, offside, and that could cause me problems in my professional life. I never thought about any of that stuff. I was just trying to be funny.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, when you say that, like, if I were to go back, and I may do it after we hang up, I'll go back and see if there's anything back there that I regret.
And do you also think that when it comes to the addiction part of social media, I mean, I think one of the interviewees that you had in your, or maybe a couple of them in your documentary, talked about deleting their app from the phone because just sometimes it's just too much to handle. Do you think the addiction part of Twitter, where some scientists has even compared it to like taking a dopamine hit, like as soon as that bing happens, like just something happens with your body and your brain and it just kind of goes on fire, that kind of aspect to it, do you think once in a while it's just really good to just take a break from it, get off the grid, not look at social media and Twitter, you know, particularly?
Absolutely. I know, and these guys talk about it. And one of the things that, you know, social scientists talk about is it's not a regular reinforcement that you get. They're random. And that is what the addictive nature of it is that you're not going to get, you know, you don't know when you're going to have a big hit and a bunch of retweets and that kind of thing. But when you do, it's enormously satisfying. So it's the unpredictability of it that helps kind of fuel the addiction to it. I know that when I leave it alone for a day or two, it's much like I enjoy it more. It's kind of like drinking, you know, like the less you do it, the more you like it. Right. So, So I'd agree with you. Turning it off, it's a great idea. Like turning off your phone, period, is a good idea.
This is your directorial debut as a feature film, as a feature documentary. Now that you've gone through this process, you made your film, it's out there, what's something that you encountered while making your film that you never, that you didn't think of beforehand that you're going to take on to your next project?
Well, it was having faith in my own voice. Initially, when I did the interviews and then I started assembling the narration and the voiceover, and you know, we stitched the narrative together around the interviews, and then we sort of glued them together with the animation and voiceover as we would segue from one section to the next. And my son Sam helped me with the editing some of it, and I'd written it probably 10, 12 times. And he said, this little chunk here, he goes, that sounds like you. He goes, make all the rest of it sound like that. So I went back and rewrote it in my voice, and that's when the thing kind of came to life. It went from sounding like somebody trying to make a documentary to a documentary made by me. And the thing that, you know, as a first-time filmmaker, the only thing I have is me. I was lucky enough to be surrounded by some incredible people helping me, but there had to be a voice at the center of it, and it had to be mine. And so once I believed in that, then things took off. So I guess if I, you know, going forward, I know, because I'm dying to do the next one, is it's got to be my voice, and I have to believe in that. And that's advice I'd give to anybody in any creative pursuit. All you've got is you.
When it comes to that next one, that next project, is that something that's still going to be within this sphere of social media and exploring that kind of thing? Are you going to step away from that?
Oh, no, I very much like to... to do the next one. What I'm intrigued with is Reddit and the anonymity of it and the way people come together there to make each other laugh. Mm. Like those Reddit comment threads are hysterical. Like they stack them one on top of another. And these are strangers playing off each other, and they're so funny. And then we collectively come together to upvote the ones that we think are funniest. So Reddit to me is like an online representation of our collective sense of humor, or at least the sense of humor of everybody who's on Reddit. So, and that fascinates me because, you know, there's career aspects to Twitter. People are on there trying to get a break, trying to get noticed. On Reddit, the idea is to stay anonymous. So you're just doing it to make some guy on the other side of the planet in the dark riding on a bus, make him laugh. And I think that's really neat. Like it's that because it's one of the nicest things you can do for another human is make them laugh. And to do it without any sense of anything coming back to you other than that sensation and the satisfaction of getting your upvotes, I'm really interested in that.
Well, look, I loved Funny Tweets. And if your next film is going to be anything like Funny Tweets, I really, really look forward to seeing what you do with that, Laurie. For everyone out there listening, Funny Tweets available now on iTunes. If you are a social media hound, and let's face it, the majority of us are these days, this is really a really cool film, a really refreshing film to check out. Take a break from the negativity on the platform and check out what some really skilled and funny writers are doing right now. Laurie McGinnis, I thank you very much for your time today and congratulations with the movie.
Great, Matt. Thanks very much for having me. That was fun.